a reminder. Watch out for that pillow in the lane two there. Got to watch out for those pillows in the road. Boy, somebody is going to sleep poorly tonight. There, yeah, I'll tell you. Okay, here we go. Today on the Travel Guys.
I knew I shouldn't have let you speak first. Next in the travel news, cruise lines are not sailing for a while, and some are starting to shed older ships. Okay, never mind. Hawaii is struggling with a plan to help visitors return, and the parade won't be passing you by in Pasadena or Philadelphia this holiday season.
In our Smarter Traveler segment, Mark looks at vacation rentals like Airbnb and its competitors. The virus seemed to have spawned a new rash of add-on charges. It's time for the buyers to be extra attentive to the rules of the rentals. It comes up at 3:20.
During COVID, timeshares have become problematical. Can you get there? Is it even safe to travel? Can you use COVID to get rid of that albatross? Chris Elliott joins us to talk timeshares at 3:35.
It's Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, time again to, you know, get away from the news and of the day, and let's dream a little. Our show is all about the journey, so welcome, my friends, to another edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
To Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
Oh, I was born a rambling man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. It's always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You know, this has turned into my favorite time of the week. My favorite thing to do. Now, I know a lot of you might say, well, don't you have other things? No, this is it. This is my favorite time. Time to spend time with my buddy Mark. A distance, I might point out. And close to you, my listeners, literally only feet away right there, safely coming out of your speakers. So thank you for being with us, Mark. Good to see you there on our FaceTime. How've you been? What's new with you, buddy?
I'm a little concerned about you. you're talking about pillows on the roadway, and now you're just whatever you've got over there at the Romano household. Maybe Stephanie would share some of it with the rest of us.
Well, you know, I think, and you're probably included. You know, you don't spend a lot of time with other people, but I think all of us that, you know, in this particular environment, after all this time,
yeah,
become a little stranger, a little different. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's definitely having an effect on my brain.
Yeah, if I become much stranger, I'm afraid my staff will disown me here. Went to Carson City last week. Big road trip, far away over the mountains to another state.
Wow! Holy cow! You left the state.
You just took
the big. Yeah. You didn't have to stop alongside a road stop along the way or anything, did you?
No, I didn't get quarantined or anything. We took the old Lincoln Highway up to Reno, and then came back on as much of the Lincoln Highway as we could on Highway 50. For those who don't know their highway history, Highway 80 basically at one point was one of the two routes of the Lincoln Highway into Sacramento. The reason that's significant is the Lincoln Highway was the first transcontinental highway. So the Transcontinental Railroad ended in Sacramento. The Pony Express ended in Sacramento. The first transcontinental highway didn't end in Sacramento. It ended in San Francisco, but it came into Sacramento from two different approaches, as it turned out. And then, of course, after you had the Lincoln, came US 40, and then came Interstate 80. And they all had a little bit different routes up the canyon, because as you can imagine, and over the ridges, like 80, you know, 50 is a canyon, but 80, you got to go over a couple ridges to get there. So it's a little more difficult. And as the equipment got better and stuff, and they built the road, you know, they were able to, well, let's make a tunnel and go through the side of that mountain instead of going around it. And, you know, instead of going down in that gully, why, let's build a bridge and go across the gully. So it was very interesting.
Now, when you take the Lincoln Highway, which is in essence kind of Highway 80 towards Reno, there are still portions of the old road where you can get off of 80 and get onto a piece of the old road for a distance?
Leaving Roseville, you can drive the old Lincoln Highway almost all the way to Auburn. And through Auburn, in downtown Auburn, there's a street called Lincoln Way. Guess what that might be? The Lincoln Highway. In many towns across the country, Lincoln Way or Lincoln Avenue or Lincoln Street is the old Lincoln Highway as it went through town. So, yes, and it goes, you can see the Rainbow Lodge, you see some of the old lodges, and you go through the town of Alta and where Baxter used to be, and, you know, places you drive up and down that road all of your life. And you never get off of it because you're always in a hurry to either get there or get back.
Right.
And
it's just a way to destination.
Yeah. And I like Colfax. I think it's a cool old town. And, of course, there's a great pie place up in Auburn to stop and get pies. And we went to Carson City. What a cool place. I hadn't spent a lot of time in Carson City. There's an old Native American school there, Stewart School, which was open from 1890 until 1980. And where Native Americans were educated. And, of course, some of the stories are not particularly terrific in the early years. In the later years, things got a lot better there, and the situation was a lot different. But a lot of old buildings, original buildings, Carson City, the Carson City Mint was there. So anyway, just kind of trying to look for places that are closer to home that might give fill in the holes while people are waiting to travel to further away places. And then when you come back down the canyon in Highway 50 – you could never do this with a bus full of folks, but there is a second pass. Echo Summit is not the only way to get over that pass. The original pass was called Johnson Pass, and it runs a quarter of a mile in places away from Echo Summit and takes a little bit different way up the summit. And in the summertime, it's open, so there's no snow up there, so you can drive. But anyway, it was kind of fun. If you're one of those guys like me who is always looking, you know, what's around the next bend and stuff like that, I probably could go on forever and almost have, but anyhow.
Well, at the top of every Travel Guys radio program, besides this kind of stuff that goes on, we also bring you up to date on the travel news. So with that cue, Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, let's see here. We told you a couple weeks ago that the Cruise Lines International Association had decided, all their members had decided they wouldn't operate cruises until September 15th. This is the CDC now has extended its no-sail order for cruise ships through September the 30th. I wouldn't anticipate, if I had a cruise scheduled for October, I wouldn't be betting money that you will be going because there are some real issues that are going to have to be resolved there. Tom, I can't see cruising happening on any kind of level. Those cruise ships, they're used to being, you know, 100, even sometimes 102, 103% occupancy because they put three or four people in a two-person cabin. So that's how they get over 100%. I can't imagine them sailing with 50. I mean, dining rooms, waiting in line, all these. How would you possibly socially distance people in those types of situations? I think it's going to be a while before we see much in the way of cruise lines, especially big ocean-going type cruises, never mind the fact the situation they got into with COVID where they couldn't dock and all that kind of stuff. Cruise lines are shedding ships. That's not unusual. Many of the major cruise lines will use a ship for about 20, 25 years and then send it on its way. Holland America is dumping four of its Amsterdam, Maasdam, Rotterdam, and Veendam. They were all built in the 90s, and those have been sold to unspecified other countries. Yeah. Reporter Clayton Whitehead sent me a thing here that says, talks about some of the freebies for 2021. This is Norwegian Cruise Line. If you buy a balcony or above, they will pay the staff gratuities for you and give you five free offers: open bar, specialty dining, excursions, Wi-Fi. And this says free kids, so maybe if you don't have your own kids, they'll give you some. I don't know. But anyways, we're going to see some really big specials from the cruise lines. If I were you, I would just hang loose a little bit and wait until the water clears a little bit, and then you can make a choice. This is really good news. In a wave of icky news, this is really good news. Our national parks for a number of years have been accumulating a backlog of things that need to be fixed and done. And when I first started going to Washington, D.C. about a quarter of a century ago to lobby on occasion, it was a $5 billion backlog. Now it's a $12 billion backlog. And trails are falling apart and walls are coming down that were put up, you know, 100 years ago. So the House is expected to approve a plan. The Senate has already approved it, a bipartisan plan, 73-25 in the Senate. The Great American Outdoors Act, one of the most important environmental bills in history. It will provide $2 billion a year to restore national parks. So do the math. In 6-7 years, they will get all of that stuff done that is needed to be done. And since national parks are like one of our biggest treasures, and I'm a huge national park fan, and they're getting incredibly overused, more used every year. And now with this COVID thing, people are looking more to outdoor places. So the national parks are – that's really money well spent. I mean, talk about investing money where all people can enjoy something. That's a good example. Hilton Honors is rolling over their – if you have Hilton Honors status – they're rolling it over for you for next year. They're the last major hotel chain to announce that. And also, if you have any anniversary nights or things like that that have expiration dates of this year, they are automatically extended for a year. If you buy an airline ticket from just about any airline, certainly all the major U.S. carriers, and you buy it before July 31st, they are still offering no change fees. Be careful, though, because some airlines now are not guaranteeing the fare. So you make a reservation in October, you decide not to go, you change the ticket, and now you're going to go to Atlanta in January, and the fare is more. You don't pay a change fee, but you have to pay the up fee. So we're starting to see the airlines start to cheat in just a little bit. Hawaii is having a heck of a time deciding how to get visitors back to the islands. We've followed this story for 2 or 3 months now. I think they're going to end up with somewhat of what Tahiti has done, French Polynesia. They require a negative test within 72 hours of departure, and when you get there, within 4 days, you have to have a second test. And they get those back within a couple of days. And then that way they test you before, and they test you once you get there. So now they figure that they're pretty safe. So good idea, a lot of money, a lot fewer people landing in Papeete every day than there are landing in Honolulu by like 10 or 15,000.
Yeah, well, you know, can you imagine, though, you test a negative here, you get on your plane, you fly to Hawaii, you get tested again, and you come out positive, and now you're going to be quarantined for 14 days. You have to figure out how you're going to change your flight to get back, make arrangements to stay longer because you can't leave.
And who's going to pay for that quarantine?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And
I
who's
going to
pay for all of these tests? And who's going to? And that's the reason that Hawaii has had some struggles is because every time they think they've got this figured out. I mean, think about it on the mainland. Every time we think it's going a certain direction, it reverses and goes a different direction, or we hear something else about this virus that causes us concern. Or in some cases, you know, I mean, they're what is it? 8,200 drug companies are working 26 hours a day to try to find some kind of treatment or vaccine or something for this. So it's not from lack of effort, for sure. All right, and at the end of the news, and finally,
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine.
Indeed, Thomas. Never promised you a rose garden. No rose parade this year.
No rose parade.
No rose parade. First time in 75 years that the rose parade has been axed. And the Mummers Parade in Philadelphia on New Year's Day is gone. Philadelphia also has a Thanksgiving Day parade. They have put that off. And the Philadelphia Marathon has been canceled. So this is kind of ironic, though. Ironically, remember the last great plague, 1918, 1919, ironically, right. Philadelphia allowed a large parade in 1918 that is blamed for, was a major spreader of that flu during the pandemic that killed a lot of people after World War I. So they're not taking any chances this time. TSA, after some slowly growing numbers of the number of people who are traveling. Since the 4th of July holiday, the numbers have fallen off a little bit. About 25% as many people are traveling as traveled at this time last year. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas got caught without a face mask on an American Airlines plane last week. And let's see. Ooh, the cabin crew reported him. Which what that means is that they asked him to put on a mask, and
right.
he gave them some grief, because that's when the they ask you to put it on, you say no. Sometimes they ask you again, you say no, and then they go and they write you up. And so
right.
apparently Mr. Cruz got written up last week, so he needs to be a good boy or he won't be able to fly on American Airlines. And since he's in Texas, that would be a little bit of a problem. Airport concessions are losing a ton of money. Delta Airlines reported last week all they lost in March, $100 million a day in March was what Delta Airlines
reported. Oh, my, that's nothing.
Yeah, you think you got money problems. Speaking of quarantine, Tom, arrivals to New South Wales, that's Sydney, in the land down under, will be required to pay U.S. $2,084 to cover the cost of their mandatory 14-day quarantine at facilities designated by local authorities. That includes returning Australia residents. Went into effect yesterday. You're going to Australia, take an extra $2,000 and 2 extra weeks for you. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. A special shout-out to a couple of new listeners today, Amanda and Adam. I just got a text that they're dialed in, locked down in fabulous Texas. So enjoy the show, kids. Coming up next, Mark's going to spread a little light on vacation rentals, Airbnb, its competitors, and how the virus has affected that. Not only, are we spreading viruses, but we're finding ways to charge you more. Find out when we come back here on the Travel Guys. Hey there, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark, there in the bowels of the Sports Leisure Vacation Complex. Tom Romano high atop the Raven Oaks, I don't know, in my bedroom.
You're on the second floor of your house, and I'm in my office about half a mile away or a mile away.
Oh, man, you just give away the mystery of
people
the,
were painting this theater of the mind. Yes, they
that was what I was going to say. Yeah.
Large tower somewhere in Rancho Cordova, except that Rancho Cordova doesn't have any large towers, so that would be the first issue that you would have with that. Hey, listen, I want to take a minute here, and the Travel Guys flags are flying at half mast today. This doesn't have a darn thing to do with travel, but this guy was kind of a hero of mine. I never got to meet him. Always wanted to. Hoped that one day, walking through the halls of Congress, maybe I would run into him, but it never happened. Of course, I'm speaking of John Lewis from Georgia, who really, truly an American hero. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful man. But from all the accounts from folks who knew him that I know, and there's a bridge down south that he was a part of. Something on a lot of years ago, and I'm kind of hoping that someday maybe that bridge will end up with his name on it. But anyway, to John Lewis and all those who cared about all the things that he did, rest in peace, my friend. I wish I had had the opportunity to meet you.
I loved that he would always like to get into good trouble, as how he referred to it. Whether it's a protest or whatever, it was always whenever he got into trouble, it was in the process of doing something good.
Whenever he opened his mouth, I always found that there was great wisdom was about to come. So anyways, back to travel here. Vacation, home, owner, rental people are having as much trouble as anybody else because, of course, if people aren't renting hotels, they're not renting vacation homes either. And so what we're starting to see is a plethora of extra fees are starting to come in. Here is a story that Chris Elliott shared on his website. Chris is going to be with us after the news at the bottom of the hour to talk about timeshares. But he had a letter from somebody who said they got into a timeshare. This was in Hawaii. They tried to turn the air conditioner on, found out that it had a lock on it. And so called the owner, and she said, sure, I'd be happy to remove the lock. You're there for 2 weeks. So that'd be $300. And to which the renter said, excuse me? And sure enough, When he went and looked at the rental agreement, there absolutely was a clause in there that said air conditioning was not included and it would be an extra charge. Now, that's the kind of thing, Wi-Fi, air conditioning, you know, some of these regular things that you would expect to be included. We've already talked about cleaning fees. Now some Airbnbs are charging, if you've got more than two people, then you pay an extra person fee. You may pay a service fee on the overall cost of your rental. They're trying to recoup some of those fees that have been laid onto them by Airbnb. By the way, I hear HomeAway is maybe going home away. So we'll maybe have more on that, next week. But these charges are popping up. And what's happening is a lot of folks who use Airbnb or one of the other vacation time, home ownership or rental type companies, the Turnkey Vacation Rentals is another one. You find that folks are inserting little things now that didn't used to be there. So you've really got to be careful when you make an agreement to rent one of these places and you get the rental agreement, you see it online, before you agree to it. Again, this is a kind of a do your homework thing, and that is you've got to do your homework. You've got to take just a few minutes and say, yeah, I kind of know this and everything, but it's not like the terms and conditions of something online where you just check it and you're fine. In this case, this guy found out that, you know, so they changed their schedule. He didn't want to pay $300 for the air conditioning, so they didn't get back to the house until later in the day and things like that. So just be aware that you don't find something on your rental that's going to be really accelerate the amount that you're paying. So it's one of those do your homework things. By the way, next week in this segment we're going to talk about an update on travel, and for folks who plan to travel in the next few months, you really need to do your homework. It's kind of a spin-off of what we're talking about here, but you've got to do your homework if you're thinking about traveling anytime in the foreseeable future.
Well, there you go. You know, we're really, as a consumer, we just want everything to be up front. If there are going to be extra fees, as long as we can see that in writing, and you know, you really need to dig through all of the stuff on that website to make sure that that you know what you're getting yourself into. Okay, coming up after the news break, Chris Elliott joins us. We're going to talk about those famous albatrosses, specifically known as time guys. Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's been a while, but it's time to bring back one of our very, very special guests, Chris Elliott, consumer advocate. I want to warn you folks ahead of time, you know, as the virus has been spreading, it's spread into some of our equipment. So today, instead of Mark being in his studio at his office, he's on his phone in the office, connecting with Chris on his phone. I do believe in Reno, so, you know, the quality may not be quite as brisk, but you know what? The information will be even more sizzling and compelling than ever before. You just have to listen a little closer. Mark?
God, Chris, the pressure is really on now. I hope you have a stage show or something here, because I don't have anything like that. Anyways, you wrote an article about, it's been a couple weeks ago now, about getting rid of a timeshare in a pandemic. Getting rid of a timeshare at any time would probably be more than exciting, but getting rid of a timeshare in a pandemic might create a little bit more of a situation. I would love you. You indicated, in general, three ways to get rid of a timeshare: sell it, give it back, or hire an attorney. Mr. Elliott, timeshares, the floor is yours.
Yeah, it's such an interesting topic right now because, you know, a lot of us are facing job losses. Maybe our income is going down. I know mine is definitely going down. And so we have these obligations to pay mortgages and fees to our timeshares, some of us. And a lot of folks want to know how they can get out. So I was up at Lake Tahoe visiting with a friend, and I was in her timeshare, and she said, "Chris, I can't pay my bills anymore. What do I do?" And so I said, "Well, you know, tell me a little bit more about your situation." And what she told me was an absolutely fascinating story about how she had asked her timeshare company if she could get out of her timeshare or postpone her payments And she went to a meeting at her timeshare and asked about exit strategies. And they put a contract in front of her, I'm not making this up, where she would have bought even more points. So they did the exact opposite of what she wanted. And so I set out to research this article about, mentioning her story and then offering the advice that you just had mentioned too about how to get out of a timeshare. And the fascinating thing is when I approached the company about this, they threatened to sue me.
Yeah. So you just approached them about it and you weren't making any threats or anything and they said we're coming
out? I was not making any threats. I just, shared some of the information in the story with them. And I said, I have this person here. And what they did was they had a law firm. The law firm contacted my editors and told them that they knew that there was a story in the works. And they also said some things that were completely untrue, but that doesn't matter. Because the ending of the story is even better than the story itself.
And so they come after you, and you write the story anyway.
I wrote the story. Of course, you know me. Of course I'm going to still write the story. they were trying to crush any potential bad press. And, of course, this anecdote about them, pushing a contract under someone's nose that would have had them do the exact opposite of what they were going to do, what they wanted to do, was, that was a priceless anecdote. And so I published the story anyway, and my editors were extremely unhappy. However, this is the thing that you and I have been through this a number of times. I've been sued, I've been subpoenaed, they've come after me, and when you aim for me, you have to make sure that you hit. Because if you miss, things get really, really bad. And what happened for this timeshare company, they were clearly trying to get me fired. So what happens? The news outlet that I'm writing for promotes me.
So there is a little bit of justice in the world, yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is now, and I had a long conversation with the president of the trade group that does timeshares. And he's deeply concerned. And I told him, look, what happened here was not good. You guys actually violated a confidentiality agreement because I had sent them some information. And I said, this is strictly between us. You sent it to my editors. Your lawyers could get disbarred for what they did. But what's even worse is now you're on my radar. And now I really want to write stories about you. So I said, brace yourselves. Here I come.
Wow, good for you, Chris.
So what is it that you said? Yeah, what is it that you said to or about these folks about helping people to get out of a timeshare? I mean, I have the article in front of me. I've read it a couple times. It's posted at travelguysradio.com for listeners who would like to read it after the interview here. What aggravated them so much, Chris?
Well, I think the bottom line is that they don't want anyone getting out of a timeshare. A timeshare is, you hear a lot about perpetuity clauses, that when you get into a timeshare, it's yours for life. You can never get out of it. And that's why you had this whole cottage industry of timeshare exit companies. So they were upset that I was giving out information about how to get out of a timeshare. At the same time, they were unhappy that the industry in general, but they specifically were being called out for this behavior basically putting a contract in front of someone when they're trying to get out of timeshare, that would have gotten them even deeper into the timeshare commitment. And I think that's probably what set them off. And I should add to, I knew that this timeshare company had a rich tradition of being litigious. A couple of years ago, in fact, they sent me a lawyer letter demanding that I remove the names of their executives from my website. As you know, Elliott Advocacy, one of the things that we do on our nonprofit site is that we publish the names, phone numbers, email addresses of executives so that if you do have a problem, you can escalate it to someone else higher up in the organization. And I don't have any problems finding a great First Amendment lawyer to respond to a complaint like that. So needless to say, that one went absolutely nowhere. So these guys, I knew that they were litigious, and I didn't want to provoke anything, but at the same time, this information is really important. I think people need to have it.
And so, bottom line, what is the wisdom to folks to get out of a timeshare during a pandemic?
Well, the strategies that you mentioned before, trying to negotiate your way out, hiring a lawyer, and using one of the exit strategies that are already prescribed. There are each of the major timeshare companies does have an exit program. But the problem is that you have to be all paid up. So you have to own your timeshare outright in order for you to do the exit strategy. And sometimes there are exit fees involved as well. But what they don't want you to know, and what I'm going to tell you right now, is that if you don't care about your credit rating, and a lot of folks are retired and they own their house, they don't need to worry about getting dinged on their credit, you can just walk away from your timeshare. And they will send lawyers after you. They'll send you lawyer letters and things like that, and they'll threaten you. But in the end, there's really not very much you can do. If you can't negotiate your way out, you can stop paying, and you can usually get out that way.
Let me jump in real quick here. You can give your timeshare away to somebody that you don't care much about, and they think they got something, and but anyway, I suppose you can give it or sell it for pennies on the dollar. Are there still people around that you spend $20,000 on a timeshare and you sell it for $2,000 to somebody? Are there people that will buy them?
Yeah. There's a timeshare users group out there. I put a link to it in the story. There are places that you can go, and you could give it to your least favorite relative. I mean, I remember sitting there with my aunt, who was terminally ill at the time, and she said, they won't let me out of my timeshare in Hawaii. And I thought, this is like the worst thing ever, is you've got a terminally ill person who needs the money, and they're not letting you off the hook. This is also an issue with the timeshare industry, which is that they have these contracts that you can't get out of. And I think that that's morally wrong. You should be able to find a way of getting out of it. And more to the point, and this is, I think, the thing that really upset the timeshare industry, is that the greater discussion is a timeshare? Does it make sense to own a timeshare, especially at a time like this? And the answer usually is, for most people, is no. I don't really think you could probably rent a vacation rental or stay in a hotel and save money that way. And you don't have to deal with the obligation of paying your maintenance fees and your mortgage.
It's probably, we're talking with Chris Elliott, by the way, of Elliott.org. Chris is a consumer advocate. If you have not heard him before on the Travel Guys, you can go to Elliott, 2Ls and 2Ts.org. You can find a link to that and also to the article that we're talking about here about timeshares at TravelGuysRadio.com. Chris, there are folks who will help you resell a timeshare. There's a secondary market. I also tell people when I'm giving travel tips to folks in person, if you're going to any sort of a timeshare presentation, never take any sort of instrument of payment with you. Don't take your checkbook. Don't take your credit card. I mean, take your driver's license so they'll know who you are, but don't take anything that would allow you to spend money in any way. If it's that good of a deal, it'll still be there the next day after you sleep on it. And believe it or not, a lot of folks, given just even a few hours, will think twice about spending a huge glob of money. And the thing that you need to realize with these timeshares, as you've pointed out, they don't end when you end. So, you could come kind of half saying, well, give it to somebody, but then they're still going to get those dues, bills for the homeowners association, and they're still going to get the maintenance fees. And the bottom line is that when it comes to the timeshares, I've been in the business for 40 years. I have yet to see somebody show me a timeshare deal that is truly a significant savings over just having a vacation every year on your own. Would you agree with that?
That is absolutely true. And I would add one other thing, too. with even the smallest amount of research, I mean, just go online and type in the name of the timeshare company. So, for example, Wyndham Resorts or Hilton Timeshares or Diamond Resorts, and then add the word lawsuit or scam to the search and see what comes up. And if after that you still think that a timeshare is a good idea, then I say go for it. I like your advice about not taking any kind of payment with you, because that's what they like to do during these very, very seductive timeshare presentations, is they like to get you drunk. They like free food. They like to give you free booze. And the next thing you know, they put a contract in front of you and say, wouldn't you like to have this for the rest of the year? And you don't even get a chance to read it over. And next thing you know, you're on the hook for $20,000. It's an absolute, this kind of behavior should be illegal.
I agree.
Well, it should. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And Tom, you're a timeshare owner, Tom.
Oh, yeah, I am. I'm a timeshare owner. I have been for, I'm trying to think now, quite a while. And here again, we were in Orlando, and all of the things that you talked about happened. The question is that if people use their timeshares, I have a brother, and he and his wife, they've got three or four of them, and they're going and staying, and they go all the time. They love theirs. And I think the reason is, and of course, they have huge maintenance fees as well, but they use them. They go, they take advantage of the properties on a regular basis. Now, if a person actually uses the timeshare, do you see dollar for dollar, like you were saying, don't buy the timeshare, just pay the freight when you travel. Those that consistently use their timeshare, is there benefit there?
You know, that's a great question. And I have spoken with timeshare owners. They tell me if you use it and if you've got the right type of timeshare, that it could be worthwhile. I think that for most people, I'm not going to say everyone, but for most people, if you run the numbers and you put the numbers, don't take the numbers that the timeshare presentation people give you. Get an estimate of how much it would cost to get a timeshare. And they don't like you leaving the presentation and doing the numbers. Because if they leave you, 90% of the time you won't come back. But if you do those numbers, I think most of the time, and then also think about how much these fees over time are going to cost you. But if you run the numbers, it's almost always going to work out in favor of just getting a hotel or getting a vacation rental. Or even there's a company that I mentioned in the article that you're talking about that actually rents out like an Airbnb rents out timeshares, and that can be an extremely good deal if you get something like that. But owning is this is a problem in the United States, is that we think that owning things is the best way of doing it. You have to own your car, you have to own your home, and we kind of almost live in a post ownership society where it's cheaper to rent a car or to do ride sharing. It's cheaper to get a vacation rental. It's just much more efficient to do that. People will still own, but I think that a lot of folks, once they run the numbers, they're going to go for the Airbnb or go for the Uber, and that will be a far more efficient way of vacationing.
And when a pandemic comes along and you have a hotel reservation 3 months in the future, you just cancel it.
Right.
And
yeah.
With a timeshare, not quite so simple. So
I have
that makes it easy.
Yeah, just so you'll know, I have been in touch with my timeshare people in regards to not being able to travel during the pandemic, and what's the rebate, what's the extension on my year and so forth, and they have no answers. He said, "Well, we haven't decided yet. Right now, everything is status quo. Sorry, you can't travel."
Yeah, because your timeshare is rented. That if you're an every other year person, somebody owns that week the next year. What a mess.
Yeah, what a mess. Tom, have you heard anything back in the last couple of days from your timeshare folks?
Well, yes and no. Nothing, no phone calls to say, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to give you another year. Uh-huh. I get stuff that says, hey, we've got some really special deals that we can add to your timeshare. We can give you an extra 25% off if you'd like to come and stay and extend your stay. And then Interval Internationals, who is kind of the banker for all of the unused timeshares, they've been hounding me too. You know, I don't know. It seems that the timeshare industry and all of that is totally impervious to what the rest of the world is going through.
I've got a little tale about a company that is advertising currently on this radio station. I contacted them about reselling my timeshare. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll have the last lap of the Travel Guys coming right up.
737 coming out of the sky. Oh, won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight ride? I won't move.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler or non-traveler. You know, one last word on the timeshare thing. Those of us that have them,
yep,
we can find ways, no matter what, to justify why it's a great deal.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what seems to perpetuate, you know, the myth in a lot of ways, because we just, oh, yeah, God, it's really great. And
I heard a commercial on our local radio station, and I decided that, you know, I might call this company that was offering to sell my timeshare. And so I did call them. We won't name the company, but they advertise on KFBK. And I called them up, and they said, well, first I said, I'd like to get the free information that you advertised on the radio, and I'd like to talk to you about maybe selling my timeshare. Well, first we need to ask you some questions. We need to qualify you first. I said, I don't need to be qualified. I just want to get your information, and so I can look at it. They said, well, we need to qualify you first, so we'll know whether or not we want to do. They didn't say we want to do business with you, but whether or not, you know, you would be acceptable as a client. And so I listened to them for a few seconds, and I said, well, you know, that's fine, but I'm not going to answer a lot of questions and give you a lot of information. You send me your information, and then I will decide whether I want to hire you to sell my timeshare or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation really deteriorated from there. I asked to speak to a supervisor. They gave me to somebody. They were not sending me that information until I told them where my timeshare was, how much it cost, a bunch of personal information, and I just wasn't going to do that. So I'm going to try to approach it from another way, but it did not do anything in my mind to further the fact that not only is buying a timeshare often a scam, but that selling a timeshare would be a scam also. So experts say never, ever, ever, if you're selling a timeshare, never give a company money up front. It's always a contingency plan. They sell the timeshare, they get you out of it, whatever you want them to accomplish, and then you pay them X number of dollars. Not that you pay them X number of dollars up front and then the rest of it when they do their job. So be very careful. We'll do some research on this. You check into your timeshare, and I'll get after some folks, and we'll follow up on this next week. I thought Chris had some really good information for folks.
He did. And once again, go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and we have a link to Chris's article right there.
Yep, it is. And you can also sign up for our podcast if you'd like. We'll send you copies of the a notice that the podcast has been posted each week without the commercial breaks and stuff like that, so you can catch the Travel Guys even when you can't catch us live. You can catch us by podcast. So next week, Thomas, we're going to break out. We have not done a mailbag show for probably, I don't know, pre-COVID days. And I have got, I don't know, last week I counted 36 requests from people. I try to answer as many as I can when they come in, especially if they're specific. But then I hang on to a bunch of them if I think that they would have general interest. And so we'll answer a bunch of folks' questions. If you have a travel question or a comment or something that you'd like to share with us, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and you can send us a note.
There you go, my friends. We are always happy to see your questions come in at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thanks for spending some time with us here on The Travel Guys. We're here every Sunday from 3 to 4. You can find us on iHeartRadio. Thanks for our friends in Texas for tuning in today. Hope you got something out of the program to make you a smarter traveler.
Thanks, folks. Dance like everybody, like nobody is watching. We'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time.
The never